So Bosai, what we worked on in the past is to try to establish this requirement called Safon, which means that in the case of Kodshe Kodshim, that includes Ola, Chatos, Asham, in those cases, the carbon has to be shechted in the Tzfon Ha'azara. So if the Mizbeach is here, starting up the Kevesh, which is on the Darom, on the south side, you climb up to the Mizbeach, and beyond the Mizbeach, towards what's called the Kotel of Tzafon, the northern wing of the surrounding wall that surrounds the Azara. So then, morning. Then what we need is to have the Shechita done in that area of Tzafon. There are many different opinions as to exactly what the expanse is of Tzafon. If we go into, let's say, the most narrow opinion in the Tanoim, that's called the Beit HaMitbachayim. That's where they shechted the Korbanot. And when I'm talking about Korbanot now, I'm specifically focusing on Kodshe Kodshim. Now, so what we've already derived, just to keep you up to date, is that Chatos like Ola requires Tzafon. Meaning, the Torah says explicitly with regard to Ola, it has to be on the Tzafon, on the northern side. However, the Torah doesn't say that explicitly in the case of a Chatos, but we derive Chatos from Asham. And the reason why we derive Chatos from Asham, I'm sorry, what I meant to say is Chatos from Ola, we're going to get to Asham in a minute. The reason why we derive Chatos from Ola is because the Torah specifically tells us that you should go ahead and shecht the chatos b'makom ha'ola, in the same place that you shechted the ola. Now, we have in Kodshim, morning Aaron, we have two levels. We have something called l'mitzvah, and then what we have is called l'ikum. Now, if the Torah only requires it once, if you only find one verse in the Torah, that's called l'mitzvah. The mitzvah means that that's the way you're obligated to do it, but it doesn't mean that it's ma'akev. It's not critical. If you don't do it, then you could be yotze. For example, we had a discussion once about the leftover dam in the mizrach, in the klisharis, that if there's leftover dam, that's called what? Shiari adam, right? Shiraim, to shiari adam. It's like the chesidus of shiraim, and that shiraim requires what's called shvicha gabi yisod. But Shvicha Gabi Yisod is only L'mitzvah. That's only L'mitzvah. Again, there's one opinion that says that in certain Korbanot, in certain cases, it's critical. But as a general rule, Shiori Adam is only L'mitzvah. But now, that's only if the Torah requires it once. If the Torah repeats it a second time, then we know it's L'ikuva. And that principle, which is called Shina HaKosav Li'ake, which means the Torah repeats it, it's telling you that it's absolutely critical, and you can't do without it. And the Gemara is going to analyze the case of Ola, because in Ola the Torah only says Tzafon once, so maybe Tzafon is only the mitzvah, but b'di'evit, if he went and he shechted in the Darom, in the south side, then that should be okay. And then the Gemara is going to try to equate Ola to Chatos. Chatos, the Torah says twice that you need the Makom HaOla, which means that you need the Tzafon. And that's going to tell you that in the case of Chatos, it's Likuva. The requirement of Tzafon is absolutely critical, and you can't do without it. Now, since we have an equation between Chatos and Ola, we're going to say that just like in Chatos, the Torah repeated itself, and therefore it's a Likuva, so Tzafon is an absolutely critical requirement. So too, in Ola, even though there the Torah only mentions it once, it's also Likuva, it's also absolutely critical. And then the Gemara goes through a whole discussion, which we discussed last time. Can it possibly be that we derive Ola from an equation to Chatos, and therefore Chatos itself is derived from an equation to Ola, and that's one Hekesh, and now you're building another Hekesh on top of another Hekesh, and anyway, that's what the Gemara discusses. So the final conclusion of our previous sugya is that although the Torah only requires Tzafon once, explicitly in the Torah Shebichtav with regard to Ola, but nevertheless, Ola like Chatos, the requirement of Tzafon is Li'ikuva. What we didn't do last time is there's one last line here in the Gemara, which is Ve'ibais Ema, And the Gemara offers another possibility that the reason why Tzafon is Ma'akiv and Ola is the Omar Kra, because the Torah says in the case of Chatos, V'shochar es ha-chatos b'mokom ha-ola. And that's telling us something about the Mokom ha-ola. Okay, so the Mokom ha-ola is already like a repetition of the fact that the Tzafon is a requirement in Ola. And therefore, Enoch Inami, according to this Gemara, it does say twice that you require Tzafon in Ola. Okay, so this leads up to the Gemara for today, and that's called Asham Minolan Deboi Tzafon. Okay. So we've established in the cases of Ola and Chatos that you require Tzafon. What about Asham? We know that Asham also requires Tzafon. And the question is Minolan, from whence you derive such a conclusion. So the Gemara says the Chtiv, because it says in the Parsha of Asham. Now here it's very important. We should write down on the board even exactly which perek in Vayikra we're up to, because again we're going to always have to compare different verses. So if you can make a note of it, right now we're in Vayikra perek Zion, and Vayikra perek Zion is what's called the Din Klali, the general discussion about Asham, because later on in the Torah is going to get into very specifics about different types of korbanot Asham. So for example, now we're in the seventh perek of Vayikra. If you fast forward another seven chapters to perek Yudalid, then we're going to come up with a different pasuk, and that's going to be referring to what's called an Asham Mitzorah. So one of the various subcategories of a korban Asham is Mitzorah, and there the Torah is going to tell us again a whole discussion that we're going to have about the requirement of Tzafon. So what does it say in the general parsha of Asham in Vayikra Zion? It says Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Es Olah Yishchatu Es Asham, which means in the same place that you shechted the Olah, that's where you have to shecht the Asham. And again, with regard to the Ola, the Torah says explicitly, this is at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, V'shachato sol yerech ha-mizbeach tzafona. So really, there's only one case, one time in the Torah that the word tzafon appears with regard to shechita, and that's in the case of Ola. Again, as we said, that might be l'mitzvah. It wasn't repeated, and that we're going to have to derive from chatos, unless you take this last device, Ema, that even in Ola, it requires tzafon twice, and therefore it's critical. But be that as it may, once we have this pasuk in Asham, in the general introduction to Korban Asham, in Vayikra Zion, and it says there that the shechita of the Asham has to take place in the same place that you shechted the Ola, the Torah says tzafon with regard to Ola, therefore tzafon is a requirement with regard to Asham. Now the Gemara says Ashkechan Shechita Kabbalah Minolan. Okay, fine. The Torah says that you should shecht the Asham in the same place that you shechted the Ola. That's wonderful. But Kabbalah Minolan, right? The second of the Avodos. Yehuda, let me review this for you, because you're a newcomer here, right? So there are four Avodos, and the first one is called what? Shechita. And the second one is called Kabbalat Adam. Oh, I see you're not a newcomer. You've just been fooling us. I'm just joking. Okay. So then, the second avod is when the Kohen is Mekabel Adam. Okay. And he has to be Mekabel Adam, the Mishnah says, in what's called a Kli Sharet, in a holy vessel, and that's going to be Mekadesh Adam. There's going to be a major issue. Yeah, guys, if you can move over just a drop towards your, that would be your left if it's my right. Yeah. We'll call it the north forever. It's not the same. So then the question now becomes whether or not the shechit itself requires a kli sharis. Does anybody know which Rishon holds that the sakin, the knife of shechit, doesn't even have to be a kli sharis? Rabbeinu Ephraim. Ephraim, excellent. Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay, good. So we know about Rabbeinu Ephraim. Don, you don't know about Rabbeinu Ephraim, do you?
No.
Okay, so now you know.
I do know Rabbeinu Ephraim, but not probably the same thing.
Yeah, okay, there are a lot of Ephraims. But we're talking about the Balatosis Rabbeinu Ephraim. And Tosis himself rejects Rabbeinu Ephraim with fierceness, and he says, no, the Sakin has to be a Kli Sharis. In fact, it could very well be that you need a double Kiddush in the case of Dam. Where do we find, by the way, in general in Kodshim, that you need a double Kiddush? It's not enough to do a Kiddush once, you have to do it a second time. Excellent. Yeah, because the Kometz of the Mincha requires a twofold, almost a repetitive process of Kiddush. The first Kiddush takes place when they bring out the Kometz to the Kohen. It's brought out in a Kli Sharet, and then after the Kohen does the Kmitza, then once again you need a second Kiddush in a Kli Sharet. So it could very well be that according to Shita Satosvis, in the case of Zvachim, you need also a double process of Kiddush. You need the Shechita with the Kli Sharis, and then you need the Kabbal Saddam with the Kli Sharis. But where does the Kohen, in the case of Kodshei Kodshim, where does he stand when he receives the Dam? In the Tzafon. Now, theoretically, he could stand in the Darom. I'll tell you how. What he could do is, correct, let's say, for example, he does the Shechita on the borderline between Tzafon and whatever it might be, Ma'arav or Darom, but he stands on the borderline. So he did the Shechita in the Tzafon, and now he can receive the Dam as it comes out of the neck, the Tzavara Behema, he can receive the Dam in the Darom. Now, in the case of Chatos, we derived from Psukim that not only does Shechita require Tzafon, but in the case of Chatos, even Kabbal Saddam requires Tzafon. Once we derive it by in the case of Chatos, then we derive Ola from Chatos, because again that Hekesh, the equation between Ola and Chatos. But in the case of Asham, we only have one pasuk that requires Shechita b'tzafon, because the Torah identifies the place for the Shechita of the Asham as the place where you do the Shechita of the Ola. But what about Kabbal Saddam? Maybe in the case of an Asham, the Kohen could be Makabal Adam outside of the Tzafon.
Why would you think that?
Because again, any time you restrict the requirements of a karba, which means in the absence of that you have not fulfilled your obligation, the burden of proof is on you. If the Torah says that Shechita has certain requirements, that's only in Shechita. If you can't apply it to Kabbalah, if it doesn't, and not only that, we're going to talk about Halacha Saddam, we're going to talk about Zrika Saddam. All these avodos have their own rules and regulations. So if you're requiring X in the case of one avod, it doesn't mean that you require X in the case of another avoda. So in the case of Asham, now here again, we mentioned, who remembers this? Rabbi Yitzchak Leib Malin. Anybody remember him?
Yes.
Yeah, you do remember him. So he wants to know whether or not the requirement of Tzafon is a universal halacha that applies in all Kodshei Kodshim. And that would mean that the Gemara is very difficult, because the Gemara seems to be analyzing each subcategory of Kodshei Kodshim independently. And we're going to have to prove that Ola requires Tzafon both in Shechita and Kabbalah. We're going to have to prove that Chatos requires Tzafon in Shechita and Kabbalah. We're going to then have to prove that Asham requires Tzafon in both Shechita and Kabbalah. It really sounds like the Gemara is telling me there's no overall umbrella organization called Kodshei Kodshim that requires Shechita b'tzafon or Kabbal Saddam b'tzafon, but each carbon in and of itself requires Shechita b'tzafon. Now, after I know that each and every one of these carbonos requires tzafon, then I can label them and categorize them as Kodshei Kodshim. But I can't say up front, well, this carbon requires tzafon because it's Kodshei Kodshim and ipso facto requires tzafon. No, it's only after I know that it's tzafon, then I can classify it as Kodshei Kodshim.
There could be an exception. Even within Kodshei Kodshim, each korban has its own rule.
Correct. And that's what the Rabbi Leib Malin wants to suggest here, that we shouldn't misunderstand and think that by virtue of the fact that you give something a name and you categorize it as Kodshei Kodshim, therefore requires tzafon. Every korban, even if it's Kodshei Kodshim, has to be defined by its own restrictions, and that's what the Gemara is looking for now. How do you know that Kabbal Saddam, in the case of an Asham, requires tzafon? So now, what parsha, what parak in Vayikra are we studying now? The din klali of Asham. What parak is it?
Zion.
Okay, everyone has that? Because now we're going to go back to parak Zion, and we're going to look at the same pasuk which we just quoted on the previous line. Let's read it again. B'makom asher yishchitu es ha'ola, yishchitu es ha'asham. Any mention of Kabbalah Saddam? So far not. But let's look at the next three words in the pasuk, and it says v'es damo yizrok. Now, whenever you see the word v'es, that begins with the letter vav, what is the significance of that vav?
Vav chibur. It's connected.
Correct. That's called vav mosif al inyan rishon. Okay, it's a hook. A vav is a hook. In fact, when they built the Mishkan, they needed hooks. Each one of those hooks was called vavin, in plural vavin, in singular vav. So now it says ve'es damo yizrok. Now wait a minute. The subject of this pasuk is shechita batzafon, right? B'makom asher yishchitu sa'ola, yishchitu satzafon. So now you should assume that the vav is going to also extend the requirement of tzafon. But what does it say at the end of this pasuk? V'es damo yizrok. So is that telling me that the zrika sadam requires tzafon? He says that's an impossibility. We can't take the pasuk straightforward. Shari ein zrikas adam nasa b'tzofon. Rabbi said, where is the zrikas adam done? On the mizbech. We're not talking about the azor. We're talking about the mizbech when we get the zrika. So if you're talking about shechita, if you're talking about kabbal sadam, if you're talking about halacha sadam, where's the coin standing? Where are his feet well grounded in the azor? So now you can talk about which part of the Azor you should be in, and you could restrict him to be in the Tzafon Azor, correct? But when you talk about Zrika Saddam is on the Mizbeach, the whole concept of Tzafon makes no sense. So what do we do with this Vav, which is Mosif Alinyan Rishon? So the Gemara answers, Kibul Domo Nami B'Tzafon, that just like in the beginning of the Pasuk, Shechita has to be done B'Tzafon, so the Kohen has to be standing when he shechts the Yosham in the Tzafon, so too, when he does the Kabbal Saddam, he has to be standing in the Tzafon. However, Rabosai, I fooled you in one sense, and you'll be moichel me hopefully for that, and I told you that the Kohen has to be standing in the Tzafon. That's not necessarily so, because again, are we talking about where the Kohen is standing or where the Avodah was performed? Correct, because the Pasuk says, B'makom asher yishchitu, we're talking about a verb that describes the action of shchita. And then it says, V'es domo yizrok. So again, we're talking about the Avodah. So the Gemara right away asks the following question, Makabal atzmo minolon. How do you know that the Kohen has to be standing in the Tzafon? Maybe he could be standing on the borderline between the Tzafon and the Dorom. He could stretch out his arm into the Tzafon and receive the dam in the Tzafon. So as far as the Avodah is concerned, the Avodah was performed in the Tzafon, but he himself, the Kohen, is standing where? He's standing in the Dorom. He's not in the Tzafon. So the Gemara says, Domo ve'es Domo. There are two drushas over here. One drusha is that the dam of the carbon, in this case the Asham, needs Zrika where? Al-Gabi Mizbeach. I'm sorry. Right? I'm sorry. Zrika. Because Zrika, again, can't be telling me Tzafon. So the word Zrika is really a code word for Kabbalah Saddam. So the Kabbalah Saddam has to be done in itself. But where's the Kohen standing? For that, we need the extra vav. V'es domo.
How is Zrika? You say it's a code word for Kabbalah Saddam. They're two completely separate.
No, but I'm saying like this. Whenever the Torah says Tzafon, and then it says you need a Zrika B'Tzafon, that word Zrika means the Kabbalah Saddam that sets up the Zrika. Why? Because it can't be referring to the Zrika per se, because Zrika doesn't require Tzafon. Zrika is on the Mizbeach. Tzafon is on the Azorah beyond the Tzafon. I'm sorry, beyond the Mizbeach. So how can the Torah possibly use the word Zrika? So Michael, are you familiar with the phrase of Eino Inyan?
Not really.
No. So Eino Inyan is one of the various ways that we interpret the Torah. And what Eino Inyan means, if you have two cases in a certain context that are related to each other, the Torah tells you it tells you a certain requirement or a certain halacha in one case, and it doesn't make sense because in that case it doesn't apply, then there's a principle of eino inyan that allows us to shift it to another case. So this is one example of eino inyan. That means we don't need to tell you it's often in the case of zrika, because in the case of zrika we're talking about the mizbeach, we're not talking about the azara, and therefore we have to figure out what is the Torah telling me when it says that the zrika has to be mitzafah.
It's got
to
be the start of the zrika.
Right, and the start of the zrika.
We don't know where
it right. Starts. The start of the zrika is really shechita and kabbalah sadah. But again, the Torah says explicitly that shechita has to be done with tzafon. So now, if the Torah is adding that the zrika should be done to the tzafon, and that's an eino inyan, I don't need it for the zrika. I use it for the kabbalah sadah. That the kabbalah sadah has to be done in the tzafon. But let's say the kohen is standing in the daro, and he moves his hands forward. He lunges his hands into the tzafon in order to be makabel the da. So the Gemara says no. There's an extra vidam, ves domo, and that extra vav telling me that not only does the act of kabbal sadam have to take place in the tzafon, but even the standing of the kohen, his feet have to be where? In the tzafon. So far, so good.
But not for shechita. Shechita doesn't happen.
Shechita, I don't know, the Gemara hasn't gotten up to Shechita yet, so
I thought you said that Shechita, he can just stretch his hand and he can be standing in the door.
So I think the Gemara is going to have a drasha even for Shechita that you need the Amida B'tzafon. Yeah. In any event, at this point we get to Ashkechan LeMitzvah. Who can tell me what that means? Ashkechan LeMitzvah.
On one verse.
Right, it's only one verse. Now, I'm assuming that this Ashkechan LeMitzvah could refer to both Shechita and Kabbalah Sadan. Because again, even with regard to Shechita, we always have the same pasuk. There's one single pasuk. If there's only one verse teaching you Halach and Kodshim, it always means what? LeMitzvah. Again, and even though we've worked very hard to prove that in the cases of Chatos and Ola, the requirement of tzafon for both shechita and kabbalah is likuva, but that doesn't tell me anything about asham, because asham is a separate category. Is liakev mi nolon? How do we know that what? That the requirement of tzafon is likuva. It's absolutely critical, and if he shechts it outside the tzafon, not only has he forfeited a mitzvah, but he actually disqualifies the karbon. And the Gemara answers Krach Rinux if we have a second pasuk. Okay, now here we're fast forwarding from Vayikra Zayin, which is the general introduction to Karban Asham, and now we're getting into the more specifics in a particular case of an Asham. Anybody have a Chumash here? Okay, you're going to have to trust me on this, and if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. That's okay. Wouldn't be the first time I made a mistake. But I think if you take a look in the pasuk in Vayikra Yudalid, the Torah is talking about Asham Mitzora. Now, why does a Mitzora bring a karban to the Mizbeach? I mean, is that a voluntary karban? No, it's an obligatory karban. And what in what context does the Mitzora have to bring a karban, an obligatory karban?
And he finishes his business.
And what's it going to clinch for him? What is he going to achieve through the karban? You know, every karban achieves a kapara. But in the case of Mitzora, we're not talking about kapara. We're talking about a whole new concept. Tara, excellent. And the Mitzora, even if he counted what's called Zaynikiyim, and even if he went to the mikvah, he's still not completely tar. There's still a residue, you know, a vestige of Tumah, which prohibits him from going into the Beis HaMikdash. He's not letting Kodshim until he brings his Karban. And again, the Karban is made up of two. It's a Chatos, it's an Asham. And that's called Asham Mitzorah. So for those who say Karbanos, you know, Ezim HaKom Shal Zvachim in the morning, I'm not telling you have to say it, but if it happens to be at your minute, you'll see Asham Mitzorah there. I think it's a list of about five different Karbanos Asham. One of them is called Mitzorah. Now, in the parish of Mitzorah, the Torah says, V'shachates HaKeves, this keves, this lamb, is being brought for a Karban Asham for Mitzorah. V'mokom Asher Yishchates HaKeves V'sa'ola. And again, the Torah is telling me that the shechita has to be in the same place where you shechted the chatos and the ola, which is what? Tzafon. Now, we've already derived Tzafon in the case of general Ashamos, in the general category of Asham, and that's based on the pasuk that we started with of in Vayikra Zayin, V'makom asher yishku tasa'ol yishku tu'asa Asham. Now, in the specific case of Asham Mitzora in Vayikra Yudal, the Torah again says that V'shachata sakevesh, which requires Tzafon. So if the Torah twice requires Tzafon in Asham, then it's Likuva. It's absolutely critical. Does anybody have a question to ask me? What? Oh, okay. So that's going to be the next piece of Gemara. But before we get to that, I think there's even a previous question. When the Torah repeats itself, can you look at that pasuk again and tell me what?
It's only Shechita.
It's only Shechita. There's no mention of Kabbalah. Now again, we derive Kabbalah from the pasuk V'yes Domo Yisro, but that's only the mitzvah. So how do we know that in the case of Kabbalah, Tzafon is absolutely critical? And this is the kash of Tosus. You see Tosus Divya Maskel Li'akev? It's a very short Tosus. But sometimes those small little tosus are the ones that give us the biggest headache, so to speak. He says, La'akev binolon d'chsiv v'shachar es hakevesh. Now, that's very nice, v'shachar es hakevesh, but that's only as far as Shechita is concerned. He says, L'makavel, as far as Kavol Saddam is concerned, lo yad inon ikuva. Which, again, I don't know how to translate those words exactly, but it sounds like it says we don't know any source that the requirement of Tzafon in Kabbalah Saddam of an Oshav is Likuva. That's a mouthful. Let me go over that one more time. We have no source for the following conclusion, that the requirement of Tzafon in Kabbalah Saddam in a Karban Oshav is Likuva.
What is Likuva?
Likuva means it's critical. Oh. Critical means indispensable. Can you help me out with the Spanish a little bit? Is it?
No, those are the same.
Also critical in Spanish?
The same word.
Yes. It's unbelievable.
Critico?
Yeah, we probably borrowed it from the Spaniards. Okay. So it's critical. I mean, whatever, critical. So what does that mean? What does it mean when I say something is critical? If he doesn't do it, then what do you do with the karban? Throw it out. It's pasul. Okay. So I would like to take a stab at answering Tosus's kash. Because if you don't have a pasuk for something, then the ball game is not necessarily over. You're not lost completely. Because there's something else that has the same status as a pasuk. And what's that called? Say it again?
Logic.
Yeah, and what's called the Lashon of the Shas? Well, Kavachomer is one example. Svar. So all of the Shas, you'll see the following. Ibai same a Kra, Ibai same a Svar. If you like, I have a Pasuk for you. And if you don't like my Pasuk, I'll give you a Svar. So I would like to say a Svar here. And maybe I could explain why Kabbalah Saddam requires Tzafon in the case of Asham Li'ikuva. And it's absolutely critical. It's indispensable. And it's a pretty simple svara. It works like this. The pasuk defines shechita as b'makom, what's the pasuk say? B'makom asher yishketu, just want to get the pasuk straight, b'makom asher yishketu es ha'ola v'es ha'chatas. Esa Ola, Yishketu Esa Asha. Now, in the case of Ola, I require Tzafon, not only in Shechita, but also in what? In Kabbalah Saddam. And not only L'mitzvah, but also L'kuvah. Now, in the same pasuk that tells you the requirement of Shechita, Tzafon, B'makom Asher Yishketu Ba'ola, Yishketu Esa Asham, in that very pasuk, it mentions Kabbalah Saddam, not explicitly, but by virtue of the extra words V'es Domo Yisro. So that now what I'm doing is I'm taking Kabbalah Saddam, and I'm in a sense, what word could you use? You have a vacuum cleaner, you know, you
extracting it?
No. You vacuum. You draw it in. You know what I mean? You suck it in. So what I'm doing here is that the Torah says that the shechita has to be done b'tzafon. That's explicit because it says makom the makom asher yishkudu asa ol or yishkudu asa asham, and then it says v'esdom o yizrok, which requires kabbalah sadam. So I'm going to take kabbalah sadam now, and I'm going to suck it into shechita, and I'm going to say that the same dinim and regulations that apply to shechita now apply to kabbalah. And that works in two ways. Number one, it's going to tell me l'mitzvah, that Kabbalah Saddam has to be done in the Tzafon, but I don't know that it's critical. I don't know yet that it's likuva. But now that I take Kabbalah Saddam and I draw it into the Shechita, then just like in Shechita, Kabbalah Saddam is an absolute requirement, indispensable, so too in the case of Kabbalah Saddam, it's going to be indispensable. So Tosis is looking for a pasuk. He's looking for a kral or yadina be kral, he says. But at least a svara we can give. And the svara is that we've seen that the Torah requires tzafon in Kabbalah Saddam, in the case of Asham. Now you want to argue that maybe it's only l'mitzvah. So the answer is, how did the Torah teach me the requirement of Asham? The requirement of tzafon in Kabbalah Saddam in Asham? With a vav mosif al inyan rishon, v'yes domo yizrok. So v'yes domo yizrok is now attaching the end of the pasuk, which is kabbalah sadam, to the beginning of the pasuk, which is shechita. And therefore, all the dinim that apply vis-a-vis tzafon in shechita apply vis-a-vis tzafon in kabbalah sadam. That's what I would have said. But in any event, let's go on. And then we're going to get to another problem. He says the following: v'hai lahachi hu de'asa. Is that pasuk that you just quoted in Vayikra Perek Yudalit coming to teach me the requirement of tzafon? Haimi boile, I need that pasuk l'kidisanya for a brisa. Okay. Now here are both sides. I want to give you a little bit of background. At the end of, for again, and those who have the minute, at the end of the Karbonos, what's the last thing we recite? You have a sitter here? Rabbi Shmuel, correct? And what's Rabbi Shmuel going to establish? 13 Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Pahen. Okay. Now, one of those 13 Midos, which Rabbi Shmuel derives or formulates, is what's called a follow. Dover shahoyah bechlal v'yotza minechlal l'lamin al atzmo yotza, which means that if you had X that was part of a general rule and then the Torah took X out of that rule and said there are certain specific requirements or dinim that apply to that X and you take it out of the general klal, then atot chayav lach zero l'chlal. You need a special pasuk to take that X and put it back into the klal. Once the Torah took it out of the klal, then it's guilty until proven innocent, so to speak. We assume that it's out of the klal until you have a pasuk that puts it back into the klal. Okay then? So let me give you an example. Just give me, Aaron, before I lose my trend of thought. Let me give you an example. Just 1 second. Sorry. Okay. Now, here's my example. And then you'll ask me questions. But first, let me give you an example so that we can illustrate this. When we do what's called Matan Damim, or Zrikas Adam, where does that go? Where does the dam go? On the Mizbeach. Is that always true? That is always true. But maybe it's not always true. Maybe in one case, there's another category of Zrika Saddam. And what's that? What do you mean, where does the dam go? It doesn't go on the Mizbeach, you're saying?
I thought
it's Yotzil Beis HaSreifa. Is that what I mean? Parman Esrafin? No, I'm asking, where do you put the dam? You know, there's many cases where we have Hazar Saddam, but I'm talking about.
An approach.
Right, okay, fine, that's Hazar. But again, I know what you're saying. Hazar might also fit a little bit into this category, I don't know. But the category I'm referring to is Asham Mitzora. Because in Asham Mitzora, the Torah requires that the Kohen take the dam and put it where?
Here.
On the Gufo Shel Mitzora. On the body of the Mitzora. Again, I have no doubt that there are philosophical implications over here about why the dam has to go on the body of the Mitzora. So that's called a Dover Shehoyah B'chlal V'yotza Min HaKlal. Meaning, if the Torah puts Asham, in the case of Mitzora, together with all the Karbonos, whatever you want to talk about, every single Karbon, in the Klal, which means that the Zrika has to be done on the Mizbeach, now the Torah takes the case of Asham Mitzora out of the Klal. And it's going to require Zrika Sadam al Gufo Shel Mitzora. Okay then? Now, once it's outside of the klal, then we can't apply the klal to this case of Asham Mitzora until we know it explicitly. Until it's a special pasuk that tells me. And then Afkami is going to be tzofon. Why? Because if the Torah would have left Asham alone and not shepherd with Asham, not pick on Asham, then you would have required Tzafon and Asham because it's included in the requirement of Tzafon. But now the Torah took Asham Mitzora out of the klal, and the Torah says that you need Zrika al Gufo. So now when you do the Zrika al Gabi Mizbeach, because again, in the case of Asham Mitzora, right, there are two Kohanim. One Kohen is receives the Dam and he does the Nesina Sadam al Bohen on the body of the Mitzora. Another Kohen is going to take other parts of the Dam of the Asham and put it on the Mizbeach. Where is the Kohen who's doing the Kabbalah for the Mizbeach? Where is he standing? So you'll tell me, well, Asham is included in the general requirement of what? Safon. Of all Karbanos Asham. And all Karbanos Asham we already derived require what? Safon? I'm going to tell you no. Because it was a Dovar Shahiyah B'chlal, the Yatsam in Achlal. The Torah took Asham, Mitzora, and the Klal of other Ashamos. And if I don't know that it needs Safon. And the answer is, I do know I need Safon because of a special pasuk. That's Rabbi Yishma. What's the special pasuk? Because the Torah says, "Vishachat es hakeves b'mokom asher yishchat es hachatos." So the Gemara is now asking, "You're going to tell me that vishachat es hakeves is called shina? Shina lo makosav liakev." The Torah repeated the requirement of tzafot in the case of shchitas Asham Mitzora, and why did the Torah repeat it? To tell you Slikuva? No! I need that pasuk for some other reason. I need that pasuk to tell you that Bechlal is any sort of requirement, even Lemitzvah, of Tzafon. Aaron, now you can ask me your question. I'm a little bit more oriented. So let's see it inside. Look at Itanya, Dover Shahaya Bechlal, V'yatzal Lidon B'Dover Chadash. If something was inside the klal, and now the Torah tells me that it's different and it has its own unique halachos, you can't put it back into the klal until the Torah goes out of its way to put it back into the klal. Ketzad, says Rabbi Shmuel, how can I illustrate this hermeneutic principle? And the answer is Asham Mitzora. Why? Because the Torah went out of its way to tell you that you require tzafon in the case of Asham Mitzora. Because first it says, V'shachar asakemes b'mokom asher yishchar asachatos v'sa'ola b'mokom ha'kodosh ki kechatos ka'asham u'la kohen. Says Rabbi Shmuel, why did the Torah, after telling you that the shechita of the Asham has to take place in the Tzafon, why'd have to add a repetitive and superfluous phrase, ki kachatos ha'asham? those words kachatoska shama totally superfluous, because again at the beginning of the pasuk it says v'shacharasa kevus makom asher yishcharasa chata. So we already know that the shechita of the asham mitzora has to take place in the tzafon. So what do you add by saying kachatos ha'asham? So you and I might have said that maybe the Torah is shino lava kosev liakit, but Rabbi Shmuel sees it in a different way. And he says the following, that Asham Mitzor was originally in the general klal that applies to every Asham. And now, which parak in Vayikra are we going to go back to for the klal of Asham?
Back to Zion.
Excellent. It says in parak Zion, Vizos Torah Sa'asham. Asham means all Karbanos Asham. And Asham Mitzor is included in Zos Torah Sa'asham back in Vayikra Zion. So Matam Lomar, what did the Torah have to add here in Vayikra Yudalit, in the specific parash of Asham Mitzora, by telling us Kachatos Kasham Lefisha Yotza Asham Mitzora, that Asham Mitzora was already taken out of the general klal of Zos Torah Sa'asham Lidon B'Dover Chadosh? And again, what's the Dover Chadosh here that makes Asham Mitzora radically different than every other Korban Asham?
The
Zrika, excellent, is on the Guf HaMizbeach. There's a Matan Damim which is called Beboen Yad, Beboen Regel, Veyozen Yamanis. These are three parts of the body where the Kohen has to place the Dam. Oh, is Yochel now? I'm in trouble. Lo Yehetan Matan Damim VeMurim Legabi Mizbeach. Maybe the Torah has completely shifted the entire Avoda process of the Asham Mitzora. We've seen that the Torah changed the process requiring Matan Bahonos, right? Al Gufo Shel Mitzora. So now maybe Bechlal, we don't need Matan Domim, we don't need Emurim, Haktar Simu, the whole mechanics of Korbanos just goes down the tubes. Talmud Lomar Kachatos Hashamu. In other words, the Torah is now being Machzir Esa Asham back into the Klal, and telling us ma chatos is just like in chatos, you need matan domim, you need aktoras emurim, so to Asham Mitzora needs matan domim, and it needs emurim legabi mizbeach. And included in this whole equation, by putting it back in, is going to teach me that you need tzafon. But again, if you need tzafon, that's only lemitzvah. That's not likuva. So how can you use this pasuk of Vishachatas Akeves B'mokam Asher Yishchat Esachatos V'esa Ola, and then it says Ki Chatas Hashamu Lakoin, and teaching you what? Likuva. You can't use it for Likuva because now I need it even for the mitzvah. I have a general requirement in every Hashem that you need Tzafon, and that we've already derived from Vayikra Perik Zayin of Zos Torsa Hashem. The answer is that Asham Mitzorah is the exception. So whatever rules you're going to derive as general rules in Karbanos Asham will not apply to Asham Mitzorah, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, once you took it out of the klal and you have a whole new din of Matan Damim on the Gufa Shel Mitzorah, I have no way of knowing now that you put it back into the klal, and now we can apply the requirements of that Pasuk Zos Torah Sa'asham to the Asham Mitzorah. And the answer is, but it says Kachatas Kasham, to tell you that just like Chatas has all these requirements, so too Asham has all the requirements. So now we're stuck because the din of Tzafon has no Shino Lavakos of Liakim. There's no double pasuk here. We only have one pasuk to teach me Tzafon. So the Gemara answers him, Cain, if it was true that when the Torah says v'shachat sakeves, it's only bringing the Asham Mitzor back into the general category of Karbanos Asham to require tzafon, is nichtov bahai v'lo nichtov bahai. The Torah could have required Asham in the case of Mitzorah, and that we saw over here, because it says v'shachat sakeves b'mokom asher yishchar achatos, and then it doesn't have to tell me the din of tzafon as a general rule in Asham, and then we could learn Asham Mitzora. Then we could learn all Karbanos Asham from Asham Mitzora. It's interesting. You see, Rabosai, the Gemara is making now what I call an about face, a radical turn in a different direction. Until now, we've been assuming which is the Malamed and which is the Nilmad, which teaches and which is taught, in the case of general Hashamos versus Hasham Mitzorah.
Zotar Hasham teaches and Hasham
right. Zotar Hasham is going to set the pattern for all Korbanos Hasham, and then we're going to derive Hasham Mitzorah from general Korbanos. And now we introduce Rabbi Shmuel and say, well, you took Hasham Mitzorah out of the Klal, so who says that you could put it back into the Klal? But now the Gemara is pulling a fast move here. The Gemara wants to go in the opposite direction. Let's set up Hasham Mitzorah as the Klal, and then Hasham Mitzorah becomes the Malamed, and all other Korbanos Hasham become the Nilmad. And if in Korbanos Hasham, in the case of Korban Hasham Mitzorah, the Torah spells out the requirement itself, and I could therefore derive by equation that all Korbanos Hasham require what? Require Tzafon. So therefore, one of these two psukim is extra. In other words, either you take the pasuk in Perek Zayin, Zos Torah Sa'asham, the general description of a requirement of Tzafon and Hasham, or you take the specific pasuk in Vayikra Yudalid, where the Torah spells out the requirement of Hasham Mitzorah requiring Tzafon like any other Karban Chatos, like we said, for Kachatas V'Chasham. But at the end of the day, you're left with a repetition, because in two places we have the requirement of tzofa. Okay, let's stop here for a moment, and then I want to show you something here in this sefer. Yeah, Aaron? I'm just going to make a note of where we got up to so I can remember for tomorrow. Yeah?
Just like maybe a little technical question. So, when it says... when it tries to like get Hasham Mitzorah back into the Klal of Hasham,
right,
it uses
Kachatos Ka Hasham.
Right. So Machat, I'm just surprised. So the Gemara says Machatatu Na Matan Damim Be'Rim LeGabei Hamizbeach Ap Hasham Mitzorah Tavun Matan Damim Be'Rim LeGabei Hamizbeach. So I would have expected, working within Rabbi Yishmael's framework, when we're taking Hasham Mitzorah outside of the Klal and putting it back, I would have expected to say Ma Hasham Tuna Matan Damim
Be'Rim. Ah, Hasham Mitzorah.
Yeah, but it says Ma.
So your question is not a question on the Gemara per se, it's a question on the Pasuk itself. I mean, why did the Pasuk say Kachatos Hasham?
Well, I guess the way I was reading this is we can say, like, so we're trying to apply Rabbi Shmuel's rule that we take it out and we put it back.
Right.
But from the Gemara, it sounds like we're taking it out and we don't put it back to Hasham, we now have a second Hekesh that says this Hasham Mitzorah, which is now outside of the Klal of Hasham, but now we kind of give it all the same dinim because of Chatam.
Correct. And all those dinim are identical to the dinim of Hasham.
I'm not sure the right is, but it sounds like...
Right. So the only question you could ask is, why did the Torah do this in an obfuscated, strange, kind of complicated way? If the Torah wanted to put Hasham Mitzorah back into the general category of Hasham, why did it have to introduce Chatos into the equation? I would give you a technical answer. I think there's probably a more profound answer to your question. But I think what the Torah is trying to do is avoid any confusion here. Because if the Pasuk would have said Ke Hasham Ha Hasham, it would have been very, very sticky. You know, what does it mean, Ke Hasham Ka Hasham? So he uses Chatos as the paradigm of all the dinim of Ma'adomim, Akhtar Seymurim, and so forth and so on. I'm bothered a little by a different question here. Is it really possible that if not for the Pasuk Kachatos Hasham, we would not put Hasham Mitzorah back into the Klal, and therefore what? It doesn't need Matan Damim? I mean, the Torah doesn't require Matan Damim at all? In other words, Bahonos, is the Gemara arguing that Bahonos, Yad, etc., would replace Matan Damim in the Havamina?
You do have the Pasuk, so what's the problem?
Yeah, what does it say in the Pasuk? For this I need a Chumash here. I feel a little embarrassed that I didn't bring a Chumash here.
It says it.
Yeah, you have a Chumash?
V'shachat et ha-keves b'mkom asher yishchat et ha-chatat et ha-olah b'mkom ha-kodesh ki kachatat ha-asham hu la-kohen kodesh kodeshim.
Right, but what does it say before that? I mean, that's not the opening Pasuk here. That's Pasuk Yud Gimel, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Michael. What does it say before that? I'm trying to figure it out. There's no mention of Matan Domim at all in the pasuk. I just curious.
Later on, it talks about, so Yud Dalet, the next pasuk talks about putting it on the Tanuch and the Bohem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then it says about the Shemen.
Yud Dalet, you're up to Yud Gimel. You passed already Yud Gimel, right?
Perik Yud Dalet pasuk Yud Gimel is what the Gemara says.
Right. Now, I just want to know what came before that. That's what I'm trying to think. Let's go a little bit back. Zos Torahs Hamitzora B'yom Torah So Ruva V'tziva. Fine. So you have eight Zeres V'shnit Olas. Fine. And then what comes later?
But
Pasuk Zion is already V'hizal Amitayer Sheva Pa'omim. And then you have the Tutsi Porim, right? One that's sent Al Pnei Asada, and the other is slaughtered. Fine. Oh, Ubayom here starts in Pasuk Yud. Ubayom Hashmini Yikach Shnei Kvasim Tmimim V'Kavsa Achas Bashnosa Tmima U'Shlosh Esronim etc. V'Hemet Hakoyin Amitaris Ha'ish Lufnei Hashem Pesach Ol Moi Lokach Hakoyin Sekeves Ha'ovik. Oh, Es Hakeves Ha'echad V'Hikru V'Osoli Hashem. I have to understand. Yeah. So what's going on here with the snake vosim? Yeah, I have to do a little bit more work here. Because I'm confused here. It says explicitly in the pasuk v'hikriv osoli asham. So what's v'hikriv osoli asham? Is that only one of the two kvasim?
The second keves is a chatat, and the third kvasa is an olah.
So when it says v'hikriv osoli asham, what does that mean? Well, what does the word v'hikriv mean? It doesn't mean al gabi mizbeach. But the Gemara here seems to assume that if not for the equation to chatos, I would not know that this asham needs matan damim. Well, what's he talking about? What do you mean it doesn't need matan damim? It says in the pasuk v'kriv osoli asham. Then I get confused.
I think just because the other two are for different.
No, but I'm saying one of the three karbonos is an asham, and about that asham, the Torah says it says v'kriv osoli asham. So how do you interpret that pasuk v'kriv osoli asham if you didn't have kachatos ka'asham? The Gemara says you wouldn't know matan damim. So if there's no matan damim, so what's v'kriv osoli asham? I just don't know tight, as we say. You know, I know how to translate the words v'kriv osoli asham. I'm sure I'm missing something here, but okay. So what do we have that we discussed in the previous shiur? We want to know what's the story with Holochas Hadam. In other words, until now we've been discussing Shechita and Kabbalas Hadam, and we require in both cases Tzafon as far as what we call Kodshe Kodshim are concerned, and we require Klisharis. Let's say according to Tosfos Shita, even a Sakin Shel Shechita has to be a Klisharis against Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay. So he quotes a sefer here called the Migdash David. I think we've quoted it in the past. And the Migdash David wants to know what's the status of Holochas Hadam? Does it require a Klisharis or not? Now again, you have to understand that the Kabbalah Sadam was done in a Klisharis. Now, what he's going to do now, he's going to pour the dam out of a klisharis into a klichol, and the Migdash David wants to know if he can take the dam, just get it over to the mizbeach in a klichol, and it's not a klisharis, because again, any process of kiddush has already been achieved by the combo of shechita and Kabbalah Sadam, both of which took place in the Klisharis. So maybe at this point we can just drop the requirement of Klisharis as far as Halacha Sadam is concerned. So what I want to look at now is a paragraph on page Shin Ayin Dalid You have that?
Yes.
Ube emes. Do you have such a paragraph? Ube emes. So he quotes this topic from Mikdash David. V'kosav lochiach mihodl gabi mincha. Shemaila umakter sakomets beklishores. So the Gemara says in Menachos that Milo, what does he do? He does the comets, and then he takes the comets and he's makter it on the mizbeach. And the Torah says that he has to be male umakter. Now, what's the difference between male and makter? Male means like to take it up. And makter means to burn it, right? So what's mal in the case of a mincha? It's going to have to be the power to holacha. Do you follow? So mal means after you did the kmitzah, and now you have the komets, you put the komets in a klisharis, and then you mal it. That, the Mikdash Tavit claims, is parallel to holacha. And it says explicitly in the Gemara Menachos that you require klisharis for that. So again, here's the equation of the Mikdash Tavit. If halas ha-mincha requires klishares, and that's the case of Menachos, then it's parallel in Zvachim will be halacha sadam. And halacha sadam requires a klishares. Why? Because since the Gemara says male in the case of comets, that you need klishares, so to male l'mizbeach, which means halacha sadam l'mizbeach, also requires klisharis. Okay. Now, just give me a minute. Now, if you fast forward to the next page, you see where it says Vagriz? And he writes, Holocha eino tzricha klisharis. Okay, now he has a sugya in the first perek of Zvachim on Daf Tezvav to prove that Holocha does not require a klisharis. So we have here a bosai machlokas between the Mikdash David and the Griz as to whether or not Holocha requires a klisharis. And apparently there are proofs this way and that way going back and forth. He goes on and on for pages. Now, Tosis Shita is that Shchita itself requires a Sakin, which is a Klisharis, against Rabbeinu Ephraim. So it comes out that according to the Mikdash David, we need a klisharis for shchita, for kabbalah sadam, and for halacha sadam. And in the case of shchita, we have shita tosfos that you require a sakin that has what? That has the status of a klisharis. Now, who remembers which gemara Tosfos quotes right here at the beginning of Eizu Mekoma to prove a sugya somewhere in Shas to prove that Sakin shel shchita has to be a klisharis?
Is it Mechulin?
No, in Chulin, on the contrary, that seems to indicate Rabbeinu Ephraim that you don't require, because more folks like Krumio shel kana, that you took a reed and you plucked it, and then it was a sugya psachim that on Erev Pesach everybody brought their own sakin for the shchita and the azara. But on the other side of the equation, there was a sugya where?
Sota,
exactly. What did it say in the Gemara in Sota? The Gemara in Sota says that just like in Karma Mincha there's a double Kiddush, so too in Zvachim there's a double Kiddush. And what's that double Kiddush? Number one, Shchita. And number two, Kabbalah Sadam. And therefore Tosfos says that if the Gemara says that the Shchita itself is an act of Kiddush Adam, then the Shchita has to take place in what, with what kind of a Kli? With a Kli Sharis. Now, what does Rabbeinu Ephraim hold? So, if you take a look on page for a moment, Shin Ayin Tes, on the bottom left, he says the following. quoting Tosus that Besota Mashba the Sakin Makadish Le Ledam, that's our language of our Tosus here. He says, Nira Kavana Satosus Lochiach Mehodi Amina Besota the Kadishte Sakin Bitsavar Behema, that if the Gemara in Sota establishes that the Sakin itself sanctifies the Dam, Bitsavar Behema, therefore, Sakin has to be a klisharis to be Makadish the Dam. Then he quotes in the name of the Griz, Vaharishonim, I think he's referring to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Svirlu, who they hold the Ainsar klisharis Beshkita, Yefarshu da Kiddush Eno al Yidei HaSakin, El al Yidei Avodas HaShkita. So here on both sides I get really confused. Maybe you can help me. The Griz is faced with the following problem. It's almost an enigma. The Gemara in Sota explicitly says that the Shechita is Makadish the Dam. That makes sense if you hold that the Shechita is done with what kind of Kli? A Kli Sharis. But Rabbi Ephraim has to deal with this Gemara in Sota. How is he going to accept on the one hand that the Shechita is done with a sakin shel chol, just take any knife you want, you're going to your kitchen, and at the same time the Gemara says the Shechita is Makadish the Dam, so the Griz says the following, Rabbos, and here's where I get confused. He says that it's not the sakin that's Makadish the Dam, but the Shechita itself is Makadish the Dam. B'toris what? I mean, what status does the Shechita have? I know that, you know, Shechita is matir in Nevela, you know, if you don't check an animal and you eat the basa, that's a violation of Nevela. But what does that have to do with Kiddush Adam L'Mizbeach?
It was this Birur, right?
What did he say?
The Birur, right? That's what we talked about yesterday.
Oh, so you're one step ahead of me, but before you get to that step, he says, "Hey, Yefarshu da Kiddush Ein Al Yedei Asakin El Al Yedei Avodas Hashchita." Do you see where he's shifting? He's shifting the emphasis from the kli through which I do shchita to the ma'is avoda, to the act of avoda. Now, you know, when I hear that phrase avodas hashchita, I get very nervous about that. I mean, again, you know, it's coming out of our ears already that there are four avodos, right? And the first of the four is what?
Shechita.
Is shechita. But, you know, it's a little bit complicated because if shechita is an avoda, then it should require what? Well, again, you know, that's an interesting question, but I meant to say something even before that. I don't know, maybe yours is before mine, or mine, I don't know. But I thought if shechita is an avoda, it should require what?
A kohen.
And yet, Shechita Ksheira Bazar, it doesn't require a Kohen. So it's a very paradoxical situation. We keep hearing over and over again that there are four Avodos, first of which is Shechita. In fact, Rashi, elsewhere, in Menachos, he sets up an entire parallel between the four Avodos of Zvachim and the four Avodos of Menachos, in which he says that the Kmitza, you know, when the Kohen grabs onto the flower, that itself is what? Is Keneged Shechita. It's the first of the Avodos. Well, why is it Ksheira Bazar? I mean, it's almost like a Tarti de Sastri to say that on the one hand that it's an Avoda, and then to say, well, it's Ksheira Bazar. But then I flip back to the opening Mishnah of Masechta Zvachim, and the Mishnah says that if it was a Shechita Shelo Lishma, then a carbon is possible, you know, whatever that word possible means. Well, who cares about the Machshavas Lishma? If Shechit is not even an Avoda, it's very odd. So again, here, you know, the evidence can be stacked in two directions. On the one hand, we're saying that Shechita is part of the process of the Avoda insofar as you need to write Machshava, you need Lishma. In fact, if you have the wrong Machshava, like for example, chutzim komo, it passes the karma. But if you have machshava chutzim mano, it makes it into what? Pigel, right? Pigel. All this is in shechita. More evidence. we say here in the Gemara in Sota that Shechita is Mekadesh the Dam. I mean, that certainly indicates that it's an Avodah. Especially if you hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that we're not talking about the Sakin, because the Sakin is a Sakin Shel Chol. It would be very paradoxical to generate a Kiddush with a Sakin Shel Chol. So all this seems to indicate that Shechita is certainly an Avodah. But what perplexes me is that on the other side of the equation, we find that Shechita is Kshera Bizar. In fact, you may recall that sometimes the Gemara wants to derive conclusions about Shechita's Kodshim from Bama, because of various dinim in Shechita and Bama that are very open-minded, you know, very liberal. You know, you can do this and you can do that in a Bama. And the Gemara says, no, don't tell me about Shechita. You can't derive any conclusions from Shechita, because Shechita is not an avodah, it's Kshei Rebizan. So it's kind of like a...
Maybe because the Maisa Shechita is so important, it's less important the tool, nor the person holding the tool. Even a Zar, and even a Sakin Chol. But the Shechita is somehow very elevated, it creates an avodah.
Say one more time, Ben. I began to hear
the act itself is so important. It doesn't even matter the tool nor the person holding the tool, even a czar. That shechita is an avodah in and of itself.
You could argue exactly the opposite. If it's so important, then for sure you need a kohen, and for sure you need a klisha. So you can argue that way as well.
But there was something that you said, Ben, that caught my fancy. I don't know what it was, but I'm not sure.
The maaseh of shechita is so chashuv. Itself, in and of itself, it doesn't matter who does it and what tool they use. Even a czar and even a kli chol, because that act, that maisa shechita is so important that it's elevated to an avodah. Whereas the other things, Kabbalah Hadam requires a kli shar, it has to be kohen. So I mean, I can see your side as well. But
I mean, to resolve it, you just say that the ikar is the maase.
Yes.
And like it doesn't...
Masha ain came in the other avodah.
You don't need halacha, do you? Because you're standing one next to
him. Oh, so that's a long discussion. Because Rav Shimon says that you don't need halacha. And therefore, even a machshava poseles of, let's say, chutzuzman or chutzumkom doesn't apply to halacha. That's going to Rav Shimon. Chachamim say, well, okay, it happens to be that you did the shechita right next to the mizbeach, so you don't need halacha. But when you do need halacha, because it's b'merchak, then it becomes an avodah with all the dinim of machshava poselis. And then Yitzchak threw another element in the equation that we mentioned yesterday called birur. You remember we compared it to tafrosas truma, where you have chulin and truma mixed in together, and now you have to separate. This one is designated, singled out as truma, and this one is chulin. Here too, you know, you want to designate the dam as dam that's going to go on the mizbeach. Which dam is going to go on the mizbeach? The dam that was shechted, you know, that came out as a result of shechita, the dam that was received in the kli shares, in the case of Kabbalah, and all that is part of a process of designating the dam. And designating the dam, again, if we add what Ben is saying, is the maisa shechita itself. It's almost as if we're looking at the Maisa Shechita as an entity without introducing the Kohen himself as secondary. But again, you can't go too far with this, because again, the Kohen's Machshava is going to be very critical, because all the Psule Machshava that we've been discussing all apply to the Shochet, the Shah Shechita. And he might be a Zar, I don't know. But that itself is something that we want to pick up. Okay, Rabosai, look, what I'd like you to do now, if you could, is to break up into chavrusas, try to work on a chazor of what we did today, and see if you can get a little bit further in the Gemara. Because that'll make it a lot easier for us tomorrow as we move forward in the sugya. And I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming, and Aaron, we still have you for another 3 days. Okay, so 3 days is a chazor. So it's funny that during the 3 weeks when we're commemorating the Churban Abayis, you know, you're going to be in Chutz Laaretz, you know. Maybe you'll feel it more in Chutz Laaretz, you know, with all the Heiligkeit of Pittsburgh and Rabbi Miller, who's there. I don't know if you'll get a chance to spend some time with him.
He left.
Oh, that's right. Miller's now in Calgary. Right. So you won't see him. There's Rav Yalkut, I think, might be. Yeah, please send him my best regards. I know him from the old days when he was a youngster. He's still a youngster. But in Pittsburgh, you might feel the loss of the Beis HaMikdash.
Are we going back to that first Tosfot at some point, or are we going to do it on our own from Rika?
I would like to get that from you in feedback, to go back to the first Tosfot, and see if you can take the first Tosfot in the Perek in Ezu's Vachim and run with it, and see what you can come with. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, great.